created live on Fireside.
Welcome, everybody, to Athletic Definition. Today, my special guest for my 200th episode is Angel Medina. How are you doing today, Angel?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for being here. Angel is a purple belt in jiu-jitsu from Gracie. Let us know a little bit about, you know, is it Chicago right there? I looked it up. I think it's like north of Chicago.
We're just a little bit north of Chicago. We're in Libertyville. I live a little bit further north, but I drive down here just because this is where I want to be.
I was in Chicago. I didn't realize you were over there. I thought you were like in Florida or New York. That's what I was thinking. And I was there maybe like in March. About how far of a drive would that have been?
At most like an hour with traffic, but usually like if traffic's good, like 45 minutes.
That's not too bad. I saw a lot of jiu-jitsu schools in Chicago in the area where I was at, in the downtown area.
Crawford Gracie has his headquarters up here.
Yeah, I saw a lot. I actually did see a lot of Gracie over there. How did you get into jiu-jitsu?
Well, I did Taekwondo for about 9 years. It was cool and all. I think there's a lot to be desired in a lot of your typical Taekwondo schools because they'll get watered down with belt systems and grading with, having to pay to test every single time. And it just left a lot for me to desire and just was looking for something new to get into, a new fighting style, and I fell in love with it.
I have heard that about a lot of the schools where parents will actually stop taking their kids because it's a lot of belt testing and all these different colors and stripes and continuous charging, which is good. I understand it's a business, but to a point as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, like you said, to a point, it's good for the business, but it's not good for business. You know what I mean? It definitely scares a lot of people away, especially the ones who maybe can't afford it, but are kind of passionate about it. It kind of leaves them standing there like, well, you know, I can't really afford to go to the next belt, so what else do I do? You know? So, I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah, it'll continue to be. But overall, there's other excellent schools that don't run their business that way, and you develop a lot of discipline and knowledge and self-defense and everything else that comes along with it. I love martial arts. I've known you for about 3 years, and I do remember you saying you did Taekwondo. What about before that? Did you play any other sports or always just kind of martial arts?
Yeah, no, I mean, the first athletic thing I got into was Taekwondo. I didn't really do many sports before that, mostly because my parents couldn't really afford to put me in anything for too long. The only reason I really stayed was because the one that was running the gym kind of took me under his wing and started trying to help me out a little bit, and I was teaching there for a while. Yeah, I was just looking for something new and found jiu-jitsu.
And thank you, everybody, for joining in the audience and watching on the stream. Today, we are joined by Angel Medina, and he's going to be competing in Flow Grappling this Saturday, sub only, and definitely want to get into that. But then I know you said you found jiu-jitsu. Want to talk about that? Because I think when I met you, you were a blue belt.
So yeah, I think I had just gotten my blue belt a little bit before. When did COVID really like start?
2020?
Down like what month, like, do you remember? It was pretty early. No,
yeah, like I want to say like, damn, actually I don't remember, like almost summertime.
So yeah, I got my blue belt in December. Yeah, I think it was 2020.
And so you're now purple belt. How long did it take you to get your purple belt then from that point?
About 2 years. I was at like the bare minimum requirement for like the IBJJF to get your purple belt. And yeah, I was like avoiding it at all costs. A stripe had fallen off my belt not the day I got promoted, but a little bit before I got promoted to purple belt. And my professor called me out for it, and he double striped me that day. So I got my third stripe back, and then he pulled a fourth stripe on my belt. So, yeah, I was trying to stay a blue belt as long as I could.
I understand that. When I wasn't a blue belt, I wanted that blue belt bad. And then when I became a blue belt, I'm like, I'm just defending the blue belt. And then next it'll be I'm defending the purple belt. But it's great fun, and I really enjoy it. So where do you train? Because I know there's a lot of people like wondering where exactly you train.
Yeah, I train at Baja in Libertyville, Illinois.
Yeah. Is that your original school where you started training jiu-jitsu, or did you train somewhere else before?
It is. It's the school that I started at, and it's the school I plan to get my black belts at one day.
And which Gracie lineage is over there?
So if we were getting into like the full lineage, I guess it would go like all Gracie Baja kind of trickles down from like Master Carlos Gracie Jr. And then my professor studied under one of his students, Carlos Lemos Jr. And my professor is Jamil Ficori. Just like three steps down right. From Master. So I don't know. It's kind of cool to look at it like that, you know.
I do. You know, when we met, I thought it was very cool hearing all these different jiu-jitsu martial artists and talk about the way, you know, who they learned. And because I didn't realize so many different lineages until I started talking to people from the East Coast, and I'm like, oh, okay, you guys train, and how did it get over there? Even I had like Ricky Rack over here on here, and he's in Honduras, Lente Brothers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then I've had a couple other people that I met on there as well. I love to talk about the different, you know, I have different instructors over here that I know of in the LA area. A lot of my guests have been from LA. Even the ones I, like Mike Bell, he was a brown belt at the time when I had him. Now he's a black belt. Ventura. And then as well, Jack. I don't even remember Jack. Jack Dempsey.
If you're listening. Yeah, I love Jack. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a blue belt. Now he's a purple belt, just like you.
Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
I had to stop training, but I'm going back, so I'm excited to start training. I'm going to see maybe if I could actually start this coming up week right here. I haven't competed in years, but I know you're competing. And how are the rules for flow grappling, and how did you have to qualify for it, or how did you get into that tournament?
Competition I'm fighting in is called Midwest Finishers, and it's being held in the 10th Planet facility in Lombard, owned by, I think his name is Omar Ocasio, something like that. I know his first name is Omar. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name right. Yeah, I've been over there like once or twice. Real cool group of people, and the way I got into it was I actually saw this guy in the bracket that I had sparred when I had first got my blue belt. I went like to a gym down the street just to visit, and I met this purple belt there at the time, and he had recently gotten his brown belt, and I saw that he was in the bracket, so I was like, you know what, I would love the opportunity to go toe-to-toe with you again. So if he ends up winning his first match, I'll be fighting him in the second part of the bracket. So that'll be pretty cool. He's really the main one I showed up for, just because not for any type of bad blood, but familiar face. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to spar with you again, you know? So yeah, it'll be cool.
So what are the rules for this? Is it one match, you lose, you're out?
I believe so. Honestly, I just kind of jumped into it like super last minute, like the week before. Cause I saw he was in the bracket. I was like, I texted him and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And he was like, hey, they still got another spot open. I was like, say no more. I'm in there. So I just applied and they accepted me. So yeah, you know, I'm excited for the opportunity. It's my first submission only competition. Just going out there and trying to take some limbs or take a head off, you know, with, of course, with good sportsmanship.
Of course, all about testing yourself and your skills. My was it my first one? I think it was my first tournament was a Gracie tournament. It was a submission only gi, and it was a draw. That was it. No continuation. It was good. I didn't win. I didn't lose. But
was there was no like decision at the end?
It was a draw.
Huh.
So because of that, didn't continue. Neither of us continued. And then I did another submission only, and that one, I lost the first match. Oh, it was another Gracie tournament that I did, and I lost the first match, and that was it. But I do like that as well. I like submission only tournaments. The points are cool and everything, but I'm not into the stalling, so I like the whole submission. And so Flow Grappling, is that on, what is that, that's pay-per-view part of a channel, right?
Yeah, it's a streaming application. You can either access it through your web browser or you can download the app. And I think it's like, if you buy it month to month, it's like $30. And then you could like buy it for the year, which, I mean, that's like the only link that you'd probably be able to find, because they try real hard to hide the month to month thing. It ends up being cheaper anyway, so it's like whatever. I think it's like $150. Yeah, there's a ton of jiu-jitsu content on there. You could watch live streaming all the time. They stream the IBJJF stuff on there, so yeah, it's a lot of cool content on that app for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I thought they were part of also on some other channel, but maybe they grew bigger, and I didn't know about the app. I've watched it, but not in an app, so I'll have to look into it. What time are you fighting, or what time's your first match tomorrow?
Competition starts at 12, and I believe I'm the third match in. Don't have an exact time. I usually don't even look at those things, because I'm just like, I just want to go into it. I don't want to overthink it, you know? But that's just me.
And what I've seen you on your Instagram stories is I've seen you do something pretty cool. I've seen you've been traveling around competing in different states, or are you just watching some of your teammates compete? Because it looks like you're competing. And I love the whole idea of going to different states and competing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been a ton of fun. The beginning of this year, me and my buddy, we kind of just both had an epiphany. And we're just like, I mean, we're in our early 20s, not really doing much else. We don't really have a ton of responsibility, so much that it's holding us down and we can't train jiu-jitsu. So why not just do it all the time? So that's kind of what we've been doing as much as we can. And we kind of went on this little competition circuit and just applied to, I think it was like 5 or 6 different competitions. And the first one we did was the Pan American Championships in Florida. I lost, but it was my first competition as a purple belt, and it was a great experience because it showed me like there's another level to this and that it was possible for me to do it. I had the potential to win. I went out there and I didn't feel like I got manhandled, you know what I mean? So I thought there was room for improvement, and we both ended up losing in the first round, me and my buddy, because we were moving around state to state with each other. And when we lost that first round, it lit a fire under our ass, because we just like, we got some food afterwards after, you know, the stupid weight cut we did, went back home. And the first thing we did, we didn't even go back home. We came straight back to the gym and got to training that morning. So it was pretty cool. We did that for, I think, like 2 months. It was like every weekend, every other weekend we'd be competing. It was awesome, man. And right now we're kind of chilling out, but I'm trying to eye out or pick out which ones I want to go to next. So
I'm excited. How many states did you hit?
I want to say 5. First we went to Florida, then we went to South Carolina, then it was Tennessee, then Georgia, then we did the Chicago Open here. So we didn't travel for that one, but it was another competition under our belt, right? And then after that we did Texas, and then we went to California for the Worlds.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were out here. Okay. Damn. That's cool.
Yeah, I guess, man. Yeah.
Well, in running, they have the 50 Marathon Club, which you run 50 marathons in all 50 states. And I, of course, I want to do that. I only have like 3 or 4 states. I haven't done that many. For some people, they do it like in 10 years. Some people do it in 3. Some people 20, 30. There's no time limit. It's, and then you basically pay like $150 and you get to say you're part of the club. I think you get a couple things. But ever since then, I like that idea of doing a jiu-jitsu tournament in each state as well. Like, oh, might as well. If I'm going to go run a marathon, if I could get in a tournament, try to do one as well. And I want to hit all 50 states as well. So I haven't seen too many people travel. I mean, I see people travel to other countries, but not hit as many states as you did. You were on a crazy tour. That was pretty fun to watch. I was like, damn, he's going to another place.
Yeah. No, it was a ton of fun. And I eventually want to get out of the country too and go to like the Euros or go to the Brasileiros and do something like that. Yeah, one day. I got to get my passport first, though. I've been slacking on that.
Yeah, even competing in Japan, I got stitches doing jiu-jitsu, and everyone at Kaiser Permanente was training under, I can't remember who, and like by Oceanside or over there. And they all heard some guy from jiu-jitsu got cut. So they all came down to talk to me, and they were like, oh, yeah, I went to a tournament to Japan, so they were talking to me, and I'm like, oh, that was pretty cool. It made the time in the hospital kind of go by quicker because a bunch of jiu-jitsu guys that worked there just came to talk to me and made it go like a lot faster, you know?
That's awesome. Where were you training?
I actually was training a lot just with my friends. A lot of my friends were doing jiu-jitsu. A lot of them are black belts. So my friend had mats in his garage. And all these black belts would come, and I'd be like, I don't need no jiu-jitsu. I watch WWE. So I would just take them on all the time, and I basically got tired of getting my ass kicked by all these guys. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start training. I don't care how many years it takes, even though they're black belts. I'm like, I'm going to get you one day. So first, it's going to be a long time, and then I trained at UFC Gym San Dimas, which doesn't even exist anymore. I trained at UFC Rosemead. I've trained with a lot of the Checkmat guys because a lot of, in my area, there it's Checkmat, like Lucas Leitch, at least in like the whole San Gabriel Valley, La Habra and Upland. Outside of that, yeah, that's pretty much the, oh, I've trained a little bit in a couple other gyms, but just basically, I had the membership at the UFC where I could go to all of them. So I would actually like to go to the other ones. It basically makes you target walking into the other gym. And I thought that I would do that for fun just to go see the other competition. And they knew I was from the other UFC. So I didn't care. It was fun. Every once in a while, they would have inner competitions between the gyms. The competitions were really all that good. They were good beginner tournaments. Even now, I haven't done one of those in a long time. I think I did like 2. They're good beginner, but I wouldn't, there's better ones. And I've done some tournaments that are also just not well organized, so you spend a lot of time waiting. And then I've done some that are very well organized, and they tell you what time to show up, and you weigh in like the day, like at least 1 hour before your match, and that's it. Or you can go earlier and weigh in and then be good by, I like the one that was organized because I hated waiting the whole day. It was like just too much. Your body's beat up. You're like, how many more matches do I have? And I want to go eat, you know?
Yeah. The worst is like when you're fighting in 2 different divisions in one day. So you're like doing gi and no gi, and there's like a big wait in between them. The anticipation always kills me because I get all hot and sweaty in the gi, and then I get in my no-gi stuff, and now I'm getting cold, and I'm like, damn, I just want to go home and eat.
Wait, so you've done competitions in 2 different weight classes on purpose or because someone dropped out?
Not 2 different weight classes, but I'll do some competitions, like, we'll only run on a Saturday, and then they'll have to, like, just try to fit everything into one day. So I'll do no-gi, or I'll do gi, and then no-gi after that, or whichever comes first, whatever they put on first, you know? But, Yeah, I'm not too sure how I feel about that. Actually, there was one time I had to do that for the IBJJF, which it was just absolute hell because I'm in the lowest weight class, rooster weight, and then for both categories. So I had to make weight for the gi, which was 127, and then for whatever reason, the weight limit for no gi was like 126.2 or something like that. So I had to like fight in the gi and then go start like running and spitting in a bottle right after that to get into my no gi match. And I lost in the gi in my first round, but then I won my no gi bracket. So that was pretty cool. That was a pretty good experience.
At first I thought you just, for example, did like one weight class and then on purpose went into a higher weight class to compete in two different weight classes.
Ugh, you know what crazy. I mean? I've fought up one weight class, but like, just cause I hate cutting weight. It's absolutely horrible. I don't care what anybody says. I just don't like it. But
yeah, you mentioned you did a stupid weight cut. So I want to get into that a little bit. I don't do weight cuts. I always weigh around the same thing, no matter what. I could not weigh myself for months, and sometimes I don't, or I could do it continuously, and it's always around the same weight. I add on the gi, and I'd rather not do a weight cut and go in feeling good than, you know, especially I'm not getting paid, so I'm okay with not doing some crazy weight cut. How many do you do weight cuts often, or just for this trip?
Actually, for like the entire trip, I didn't. Up until Worlds, I think I fought at Rooster for the PANS and the World Championship, which was just not a great idea because I wasn't getting to eat. My body fat percentage was super low. And I mean, I looked kind of shredded for as skinny as I am, but I didn't feel good. And I much rather fight up to 141. And I'm like walking around at like at most 130, 132 right now on a decent day. But yeah, my goal has been trying to gain weight, but that's proving to be a bit more of a challenge than I thought.
Well, you're trying to just do it with muscle mass, or are you taking some sort of supplements?
Not really any. I guess, well, I had a buddy that was trying to, well, he was not necessarily a bodybuilder, but he was trying to get bigger and trying to look good. And he was kind of helping me out with that. And he said the some of the best supplements to take for that are just D3, fish oil, and what else was it? Men's multivitamin and ashwagandha, maybe. But it's nothing too crazy. I'm just trying to stuff my face and stay active, lift some weights, and the hardest part is eating, because I'm a small guy, I'm a skinny guy, and I had to be eating like 3,000 plus calories to gain anything out of my food, because I'm like I try to train twice a day, and rolling is just nothing but cardio. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like it burns a lot.
Doesn't that work up an appetite for you?
Absolutely. Oh my God. Like when, like right now I could probably do without eating the whole day and then just eat like a big dinner. But like when I was trying to gain weight actively, it was hard because I would have to be snacking throughout the day. And then toward the end of the day, I'd be like double fisting some milkshakes and then like have a couple burgers and some fries in front of me. And I would be struggling to eat it. And I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore.
So you're training twice a day. How long are the sessions? And are they like the same type of session that you're doing in the same day, or?
We'll do like about an hour of like instruction and drilling and stuff like that. And then 30 minutes of rolling after every class. And I don't roll after every class because it's hard on the body. You know, if you're doing it twice, if you're rolling twice a day, every day for like 30 minutes, right. It's so tough on your joints and just your muscle, you give your body no time to recover. So usually I'll do my rolling in the daytime when I have a decent amount of energy. And then when nighttime comes around, I might get a roll in or two, but it's usually I'm just trying to chill, maybe work on some technique, lots of drilling, lots and lots and lots of drilling. You know what I mean?
You still doing any stand-up training?
Like, as far as striking, not really. I have a buddy here that him and his dad train here. His dad trained down in Mexico, I think at like another Gracie Baja, where they offered some striking stuff, and I'm trying to get into that with them because they started like about a year ago, but they've really honed in on it and like really wanted to get good at it, and like they're giving me some fucking some trouble.
Yeah, you're good. You could cuss on here.
Okay, cool.
I always put the explicit warning on when I distribute it as a podcast. I'm like, yeah, I'll drop the F-bomb. Whatever flows natural, you're good.
All right, cool. So I don't have to like watch my language too much.
No.
I mean, as far as striking, I'm not really doing too much right now, but I like grappling on the feet because, I mean, all fights start standing up, so it's good to know some wrestling, some judo. And I wouldn't say I'm exceptional at either of those. I will definitely get my ass kicked by anybody that actually practices those exclusively, but I think I got a decent handle on them. I can sort of grasp concepts and stuff like that. So it's I would love to get into training it exclusively for a period of time, because I'm a big believer in that if you want to get good at anything, you have to take the discipline for what it is. You can't just wrestle for jiu-jitsu or do judo for jiu-jitsu. You should be going into it and practicing it exclusively, and when you come back, just sort of take away what is useful to you rather than just like dipping your toes in the water every once in a while and bringing it back to the gym. I just don't think it's quite as effective.
I understand what you're saying. I do. I think that also could have to do just with the way the person learns, but overall, I think so. You could be more, when you focus on something, you'll absorb it more. I believe it's just, you're going to have to do it over and over to get better at it.
For sure. I totally agree. Wholeheartedly. Yeah.
So now you've been training, how long have you been training jiu-jitsu?
I'm coming up on 4 years in October.
So you still have trained taekwondo longer than jiu-jitsu. That's why I asked you if you train still any like stand-up, because if you get the itch from training kicking for so long, I know in taekwondo there's a lot of kicking involved.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No, and usually if you have some background in stand-up and then you learn jiu-jitsu, then a lot of people also get that itch to try to fight as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like, I think I still got it in me. I mean, I'm probably a little bit rusty just because I've just taken such a deep dive into jiu-jitsu. I definitely still have a passion for it. It's just not my main focus right now. And I'd love to like maybe take an amateur MMA fight here and there and just sort of like put it all together and see what I can do, see what I'm capable of, and see if it's for me, you know what I mean? But grappling with strikes is way different than just doing normal jiu-jitsu or just wrestling. It's night and day.
Oh yeah. Do you watch that? I forget what it's called, but where they basically slap the shit out of each other doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, combat jiu-jitsu. Oh yeah, my that's what, God.
Combat. Man, some of those matches are, it's a whole different game.
It's brutal, man, because I think there's, you can slap, but then there's some people who really more hone in on like, Because technically, it just has to be open hand, I think. I'm pretty sure you can, like, palm strike people, and that's what really messes me up. That's devastating.
Yeah, you could definitely kill someone with a palm strike, depending where you hit it. I've seen it. It'd be crazy to try and do that even once. I'm not sure if I'd want to do it. But that's – I've done a little bit where, you know, they put on the gloves and you got to defend. The other person really can't do nothing because they actually got boxing gloves. But it's good practice. And then I've done a couple MMA classes, got my ass kicked there. It's way different trying to put it all together, you know, but it's fun. And you never know. Some of those techniques in a street fight just might come in handy. Not that I'm going around looking for it, but self-defense.
Yeah, 100%. And I think there's something to be said, too, about, like, being able to know when to use what. Because I've seen a lot of people, or I've seen, like, in UFC fights and stuff like that, like, people will shoot in for a takedown, and the guy that's being taken down is not even defending. He's more just trying to punch the guy and ends up getting taken down. And you kind of have to judge whether or not you have to defend the takedown, because if you're not defending, you're getting taken down. If you're punching, you're getting taken down. You know what I mean? And I've learned that the hard way a couple times. it's great.
So you mentioned you have done competitions in gi and no gi. Do you prefer one over the other?
Not really. Not right now. I like the differences between them, and it's hard for me to say that I prefer one over the other. Because there's more technical and creative options in the gi, because you can, like, tie people up with it, choke people with the collars and stuff like that. But in no gi, I definitely like the faster paced aspect of it, and the amount of pressure and fine tuning on your technique you need, because just an inch is all anybody needs to get up and out of something, you know. It's really different for sure. And I mean, I guess if I had to pick one, it would probably be no-gi. I got love for both, man. It's hard for me to, like, really say that I prefer one over the other, but if I had to pick, it'd probably be no-gi, to be honest.
Yeah, I like them both. When I was competing, I purposely would do a gi match, then the next competition would be no gi, and then I want to just make it equal. I would rotate whatever competition I would get in, make sure I did one of each, and then keep rotating.
Yeah, no, it's important to be well-versed in both, I think. Because the gi helps you slow things down and sort of learn the position and how to hold people. And I think in the gi, I have a better chance of beating somebody that's bigger than I am. In no gi, it's so much harder, because it comes down a little bit more to size and athleticism sometimes, you know. Not always, but it definitely plays a factor for sure.
Have you done any absolute tournament or matches where, you know, have you taken on anybody, like, really big like that?
No, not yet. I plan to. I just feel as if right now I'm not ready. I would like to gain a little bit more weight and some muscle before I start taking on some.
Oh, yeah, the damage just of them landing on you. I'm tempted to just to see, but first I got to get back in training. So I'm excited about that. I've been just thinking where I'm going to go, but I think I already know. So do you have any matches coming up besides this for this Saturday, like in the upcoming year, or is this pretty much your last one for the year?
I think I'm going to end up doing the Chicago Open again August 12th and 13th. That's running. So
how's the weather out there in Chicago for the people listening or considering the Chicago Open?
Yep. Come through and say what's up. It's really the only one I have my eyes dead set on right now, but I'll probably end up doing Nogi Worlds toward the end of the year too. I think that's in December. So yeah, I mean, maybe if I can get my passport, I'll try and go somewhere else outside of the country if they got anything running. But yeah, I'm not too sure right now. I have nothing on my calendar.
you do any different training preparing before your match you've done, or have you done so many competitions where you don't get nerves, or do you still get nervous before a competition?
That is a pretty good question. And it's, I feel like it's a good question because there's always so many different answers a person can give, right? Like some people will tell you like, "Oh, I don't get nervous," which I don't think is true, but hey, maybe it is, you know, but I think it's almost impossible to fully get rid of the nerves, but there's definitely, after doing it so many times, you kind of learn how to push it down and control it a little bit more. And I would say going into my match for the world championship, which I lost in the first round, it happens, but that was probably one, my best performance considering
the outcome,
idiotic weight cut that I did and the outcome. Yes. Going into that one, I was just there. I wasn't necessarily like nervous. I was just kind of sitting next to the mat waiting for my match. And I'm like, all right, it's time, you know, it's game time.
Yeah. The motion part, it to me is a huge part. I'm not sure if a lot of people talk about it, but the nerves after, when I first started doing marathons, I felt the energy before the marathon, like a week before, and it was like so much energy. And I think I burned so much emotion not knowing. And then I needed all that energy that I burned, because that's what you're doing. You're burning energy. I needed it for the marathon. And then now I'm at 59 marathons. At some point, that nervousness, it went away. That it's like a more calm, more relaxing. I could even lay down and kind of take a nap before it starts. And other people are just so, even throwing up because of the nerves, just so many different people react different ways. And then I thought, oh, because I have so much experience in marathoning, those same nerves I could control them for jiu-jitsu tournaments. And no, I still got nervous for the jiu-jitsu tournaments. I probably didn't get as nervous because I was better at controlling emotions like that. Mm-hmm. But I still got nervous. Who knows, maybe when I compete again, those nerves will come up. Though the ones that I never got good at controlling was right before I would spar somebody. My emotions were just like running through crazy, all kinds of thoughts through my head. But no matter what, then you get in, you start sparring, and still the thoughts up until I got punched. Then once I got punched, I was good. And then I could just go into my relax mode. But the emotions, I think a lot of, especially when you first start, or it will even prevent people from even attempting a tournament.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's a big part of what deters people from competing, is just like the fear of it, and the fear of getting hurt or things just not going the way you want it to, and even embarrassment, you know, because sometimes you'll have your whole team there and you don't want to disappoint them. You want to put on a good show and win. You know, at the end of the day, it's a win-lose game. You know, there has to be a winner, there has to be a loser. And I definitely feel what you're saying with the whole, you know, like leading up to it, there's definitely a lot of emotion. But once you're in there, you have no choice but to think about it, especially when you're getting punched in the face. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you a big guy? How big are you? Like
6 feet. And I weigh, like guy. I said, I haven't weighed myself in a minute, but I bet you I weigh like 163, 165.
Okay, so you're like fairly thin. You're not like ginormous or anything.
I would prefer to say I'm like super human, superhero, kindish.
There you go. Would you say you have like a pretty good build though?
I would say I was built more on the thinner side, but as I got older, it's easier to put on weight. Not that I put on all kinds of weight. There was a while where I tried the whole whey protein and everything just taking in as many calories, and I got up, I think the heaviest I got up to was like 185, 190. And I just felt kind of bloated, kind of heavy all the time. Didn't feel really good, kind of sluggish. And I feel better at this weight.
Right. Yeah. No, it's important to be comfortable in your own body, especially when you're in a combat sport, for sure.
And it's not like I have some crazy extreme diet or anything. I just try and eat as healthy as possible. Even when I have no choice but to go and get a hamburger or something, I'll skip the fries and I'll get like two hamburgers. And if I could, I'll get one protein style or add some avocado to it, you know, just make the best out of it. And sometimes I'll just skip the fries. I'm not going to be like, oh, condemning my food or anything like that, but just trying to make sensible and then still enjoy it, especially if you're working out so much, like twice a day. You're definitely, it's all right if you're going to eat an ice cream or something like that.
Yeah, I think to a point you're right, but there's definitely like some drawbacks to eating such crappy food all the time. You know, it whether it's like an upset stomach or just making you feel sluggish later, like a McChicken is not the same as like a nice grilled chicken breast from somewhere with like a bowl of rice.
That's true. I try to avoid like the fast food as often as possible. And if I do, I'll try and clean it up. But yeah, sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes the place you go is really, really small. I'm sure some of the places you went to maybe were big cities, all of them, or were some kind of... Oh, actually, probably they were probably big because of the tournament, huh? All the tournaments in different states?
Yeah, they were all big cities like Chicago, Nashville, Houston... Was it Houston? Yeah, it was Houston. I fought in Houston. Atlanta, and then where was it in California? Long Beach, California.
Oh, you did the pyramid? Is that the one you did?
Yeah, we were in the pyramid.
Okay. Well, and when did you do that one?
That was... Damn, when was that? I can't even remember, like, the exact date.
Oh, but the year?
The year? Oh, this was just this past, like, just like a month or two ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you were just out here.
Yeah. I didn't even know you were in California. I definitely would have tried to come by and say hi.
Yeah, now that I know, we've been trying to get together with some of the people we met and actually roll. So now I'm actually going to, I don't know if you follow Jack, but Jack, he's been doing his baseball kid thing, you know, and as soon as he's done, he's going to come back on. So I'm like, I want to make it happen now. Definitely want to make it happen, get a roll in. But yeah, next time you compete in California, be sure to let me know. Or how's the weather in Chicago in August for the Open? Because it was cold over there. It was cold in March, man. In California, we got nice weather. So when I was over in Chicago, they had like a tornado in the city called like Montebello or city of something, which they never have that over here. That was like the first time, like freak of nature thing in California. But when I went over there, it was cold. It was super cold and windy.
Yeah, no, for sure. The weather here is absolutely bonkers. Just the other day we had a tornado warning, and I don't know if it actually touched down or not, but when it gets cold here. But hey, we get some hot days too.
Oh, you get tornadoes over there?
Yeah, for sure. Every once in a while, there'll be a nice little funnel cloud coming down. And if you're driving,
I've never seen one except on. Well, I've seen many ones. What have you lived through? Have you gone through one where you have to, like, what are those things called, where you escape down to the ground and survive? Have you had to do that?
No, I haven't like experienced like a tornado rolling through within like close proximity of me, but there's been like a few, and like I've heard stories. Like one time my mom was driving down the street and said she saw like the tornado flip over a car in a parking lot, and it was just it's weird because it's like one of those things that you hear about, but you don't quite understand the magnitude of it until it's like right there in your face. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I joke about tornadoes all the time. Like when we get tornado warnings, I'm like, we're all gonna die. It's finally time. But, you know, ultimately, I don't know how I'd react if I got anywhere near a tornado.
Is every home over there equipped with like a escape room or something like that?
Not every home, no. But I mean, you would think they would be, but not really. Over here,
I'm in California. We have earthquakes. We don't see tornadoes, so that sounds like I definitely wouldn't want to see a tornado. I'm okay with earthquakes now. I won't even get out of bed. I'll go right back to sleep. It's got to be really big for me to get up.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The earthquakes are crazy too, because things start shaking and bumping. And it's like if you have something heavy up on a shelf, that's bad news.
Oh yeah, that. You got an earthquake over here. That's what I'm saying. Like, supposedly we have building codes where the building's got a roll to go with it. And I know when I went to, I have family out in Chicago. I think now it used to be a tortilla place, Tony's Tortillas, but now it's like Tony's Sandwich Shop or something. But they were like the first or second people making tortillas out in Chicago. And their house has a basement and an attic. And houses over here in California, they don't have that. We don't have that over there. Almost every house I went to had a basement and an attic. So I thought they used them for like crazy weather.
Yeah, I mean, no, we do have a lot of basements around here, but I wouldn't say every house has a basement. I've been to houses without a basement before, and usually if worst case scenario, if you don't have a basement, I mean, you just hide out in the bathroom away from windows, you lay in the bathtub or something like that, away from like breakable stuff that might end up flying around and like hitting you in the head or cutting you, something like that. But we got protocol.
I don't know. I think I could maybe do a judo throw on the tornado.
Oh, yeah. Hit it with the world, right?
Yeah. Well, Angel, thank you so much for joining me. It's been great catching up with you, actually. What time's your match again tomorrow?
The show starts around 12 o'clock, and I think
And that's 12 your time?
Yeah, 12 p.m. my time, so Central, I believe.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try and check it out. Cheering you on. If not, I'll be looking for the results. Good luck. I wish you luck, and I hope you get your rematch that you would like, or your match that you would like. Actually, looking forward to having you back on in the future. Hey, do you have a brother, right? Or no?
I got three brothers. Yeah.
Is one of them Rob?
No. Okay. Rob's my brother. Yeah. No.
I forget his brother's name. I was trying to remember his name. Trying to remember some of the people that I met. Because I think I confused where they live, where you live. So, damn. I was in Chicago. You were in LA. Didn't even know it. So next time, I'll hit you up, or you can hit me up. We'll link up. Good talking to you. Any shout-outs you want to give?
Just shout-out to Gracie Baja Libertyville, Professor Jamil Ficori, and Professor Carlos Lemos, the ones who have given me everything, just made me into the grappler I am today and helped me on my jiu-jitsu journey as well as my life journey and everything I want to pursue. Yeah, I think that's about it. Oh, the Gracie Baja Ambassadors of Illinois for sponsoring me for all these different events I was going to. Much love, much appreciated.
I was going to ask you about that, because on your IG it says ambassador. So what is this program?
Yeah, so it's kind of just like a little program to sponsor, I guess, athletes, people who are within the community, and just big parts of it, and always trying to
help out. All Gracie?
Yeah, it's all Gracie Baja. So, yeah, I mean, we're just sponsored by them to not just to fight, but to bring the community together. Because, I mean, the whole point of Gracie Baja is for us to all be a team and train together, and you know, when you see that the red shield on your back, you know that's your teammate, right? So it's great to be part of a community and be able to be a piece of the machine that sort of brings everybody together, you know, so it's been great.
Cool. And they hooked you up with some gear for tomorrow?
They gave me and my buddy Anthony, maybe we could get him on here sometime alongside me or even just him, because that's like my main training partner. Dude's like been there since day one. We actually started jiu-jitsu together and have been inseparable ever since. Yeah, that's my brother for real. I love that man, and I'll fight somebody for him, you know. But
it's crazy. Well, I don't know if you knew him before, but some of the relationships you built, your fellow jiu-jitsu practitioners, there's nothing. Seriously, I think Joe Rogan has said it a few times, but it's not a cliche. It's like there's a bond where after you, with most people, you're basically trying to break each other's arms, limbs, choke each other, and then you can shake hands and say good match.
Oh yeah, we've had some wars, and I definitely think that plays into our friendship, or even, you know, brotherhood, right? I think we've had some pretty tough fights, and even just traveling across the country with each other and like sleeping in the car next to each other when we didn't have a hotel to stay in. It breeds brotherhood for sure, you know.
Yeah, great awesome. Experiences to look back on. Yeah, that is something that I'm going to look into hitting more states. You actually, like I said, I haven't seen anybody be doing that. So I don't know how many states you got, but I want to do 50 states as soon as I start training. So I'll announce when that is soon. And thank you for coming on once again. Till next time, everybody. This is episode 200. I will see you next time. Thank you, Angel.
Yep, thanks, everybody. For having me.
Thank you for joining. Mandy, I see you in the audience and everyone watching the stream.